Hey, if you love the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
If you love being in the house of the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
It's great. Great to be in God's presence. Great to be with one another. And it's great to open up God's word and study together. If you have your Bible this morning, I invite you to turn to Galatians. You can make your way that direction. And we'll be there at Galatians chapter 4 in a few minutes. And if you've got an electronic device that you're using, you can just tell it to do whatever you need to tell it, and it'll take you to Galatians 4. And then we're going to also be reading from Romans chapter 8 as well. So those of you who have a Bible, you can actually put a finger in Galatians 4 and another finger in Romans. But if you've got an electronic device, that's a little hard to do that. So we're going to start first with Galatians chapter 4. Now, 2 weeks ago, if you were here, we shared in communion. And before we shared in communion, I spoke to you on this subject. I talked to you about what happened the moment we were saved. What happened the moment we were saved? And we talked about the 8 things that instantly transpired. I'd love to just give you a little quiz right now and see how many of those 8 things that corporately we could remember together. I'll bet we could get all of them together, but I'm not going to do that. You say, rats, because you know one, huh? But the Bible tells us that instantly when we were saved, rejoicing broke out in heaven. That was number one. And instantly, our names were written down in a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. And instantly, all of our sin was forgiven. And instantly, the Holy Spirit took up residence within us. Well, I'm not going to talk about all 8 of them this morning, but I am going to come back and focus on number 5 for a few minutes. Because number 5 was this: we became a child of God. The moment that we said, Jesus, please forgive my sins, come and live inside of me, we became a child of God. And if you were here 2 weeks ago, you might remember I said a couple times, I want to talk to you before much longer about adoption. You noticed it on the front of your bulletin when you came in today. We're going to talk about the fact that we have been adopted into God's family. If you're taking notes, there's the title: We Have Been Adopted. We have been adopted. So you got your Bible. Look with me at Galatians chapter 4, first of all. And we're going to read verses 4 through 7. Galatians 4, 4 through 7. It says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now, by the way, if you have an NIV or a couple of other newer versions, you will not see the word adoption there. And I'll explain that in a few moments, okay? So don't get too worried, upset, or uptight, okay? I'll give the explanation as to why that is so. But picking up and reading more, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So the verse, obviously, that we're going to zero in on, along with many other verses this morning, is verse number 5, to redeem those, and this is in the New King James Version, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So now go to Romans, if you would, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And did I say Romans 5 a while ago? I said 8? Okay, good. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So once again, if you have an NIV or a different version, you may not see the word adoption there, and I'll explain that to you in just a moment. But here's the verse that we're zeroing in on, part of verse 15 and 16. But you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So let's pray and ask God to bless his word together, okay? Father God, thank you for this privilege now that we have to open up your word and to study. I pray that you would give each one of us greater understanding today as to what it means to be adopted by you into your family. And I thank you, God, for your anointing upon my words, upon my lips. God, help me to speak only those things that are accurate and true according to your word. And help me to speak it in such a way that it will bless and encourage those who are hearing today. In Jesus' name, amen. I think most of you here are familiar with the old Gaither song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. How is it that that song is accurate, that it's correct? Well, the only way that it is through the process of adoption. We have been adopted into God's family. What I think we need to do is maybe turn down some of these other microphones, because I'm getting kind of a ring up here, and you getting it out there too? That's good, because I thought it might be all in my head, and so it's really good news to know it's not, okay? We have been adopted into God's family. The Bible tells us, here's a few other passages of scripture for us to reflect on and remember. In John chapter 1, verse number 12, it says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And then John also wrote in his epistle, 1 John 3:1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. We have been adopted into God's family. That's why Jesus said that we are to pray, our Father, which art in heaven, because he is our dad. The Spirit within us says, Abba, Father. So we can pray and know that we're a part of God's family. Now, the word adoption, and here's where I'm going to give you that clarification as to why you may not have seen it in all translations, all versions of Scripture. The word adoption actually comes from the Greek huothesia, right there. And that word means to place as a son. To place as a son. So, in the NIV, those who translated it, they didn't go from huothesia to adoption for some preacher to explain what it means, adoption. They just went straight to place as a son. So when you had Galatians 4 or 5 open a few moments ago in the NIV, you were seeing this: to redeem those under the law that we might receive the full rights of sons instead of the full rights of adoption. Because it means the same thing. Euthesia means to place as a son. And then when we were reading in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, but you received the spirit of sonship. That's the way the authors of the NIV translated adoption. From the King James or New King James, where you read the spirit of adoption, NIV says spirit of sonship. But, you know, the thing about it is that the concept of being adopted into God's family is found throughout the New Testament. Not the Old, but the New Testament. In fact, this is what Paul would write in Ephesians 1:5, in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons. Everybody read the white part together with me, will you? To be adopted as his sons. And you have my permission if you want to say the word daughter instead of son there. But we are adopted as children of God through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. And for those of you who normally use the NIV, this one is right out of the NIV. We are adopted as his sons. And Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 says, you are all sons of God. How? Through faith in Christ Jesus. So as we talked about a few Sundays ago, 3 weeks ago, the moment that we said, Jesus, come into my life. I believe you were the Son of God, and I want to give my heart to you. I want you to be my Savior. At that moment, we were adopted into God's family. Now, let me just say, in a very loving way, this is not in any condemning or critical sort of way, but if you are here today and you have never taken that step of saying, I need to be born again. Jesus, I believe in you. I put my faith in you. Jesus, I want to live for you, and I want your Holy Spirit to live inside of me. If you've not taken that step, then you are not part of God's family. You see, there's a philosophy in the world. If you were here during Sunday school this morning, Bruce was talking about the difference between the world view and the word view. The philosophy of the world is, hey, we're all God's children. The word says we are God's children when we make that choice and we are adopted into his family. There's one begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, and a whole lot of adopted daughters and sons. And most of us here this morning, we've made that decision and we're part of his family. If you have, say amen. Amen. You've been born again. You've accepted Christ. So, what we're going to do in the next few minutes is we're going to be talking about some truths about adoption. I had put here on the PowerPoint 7 truths about adoption. And yeah, John's getting a chuckle. I saw this book on a bookshelf one time when I was in Barnes & Noble, Adoption for Dummies. And I kind of thumb through it. But if it's all right with you, I want to use this book instead of that one, okay? And I've got some good news for you. We're not going to try to cover all 7 this morning. That was a decision that I made about 10 o'clock last night. I went in and I told my wife, I said, you know, people are going to be smelling food. And they're going to be thinking about the time of fellowship. And we're not going to get through all 7. She said, that's a good idea. So she's sticking up for you. We're going to talk about 7 truths about adoption and just cover, let's shoot for covering 3 this morning, okay? 3, and then we'll pick up next Sunday right where we leave off. The first one is a good one. If you're taking notes, would you write this down? Adoption means We were not an accident. Hey, who said that? Amen. Praise God. We were not an accident. A number of years ago, I was ministering at a camp. A camp no longer is an Assemblies of God camp. It used to be right up the road here. And John has informed me that he was a camper at that camp the same time that I was. I don't remember him. He didn't make that much of an impression on me, I guess. Maybe it's because he was always in the camp director's office in trouble about something. I didn't see him. I don't know. That's true, he says. One afternoon at Camp Davidson, a counselor asked me, I was the camp speaker, could you sit down with one of my girls and just talk to her for a while? I said, yes. What is it that you want me to talk to her about? She said, well, she has such a negative, I'm worthless, I'm nobody. She's so down on herself, her self-image, her self-esteem is so low. I said, we can do that. So I sat with her on the log that was right outside the dining hall entrance, and we sat there for probably a half hour, 40 minutes, and I was sharing with her, just one-on-one, some passages of Scripture where God says she's of value. All of you are of value today. Do you know that? You are of value and worth to God your Father. And by the way, we are of value and worth to one another also. And you're valuable to me. But I sat there and I talked with her for a while, and we just seemed to be getting nowhere. Finally, she broke into tears and she said, that may be true about others, but not me. I said, why? She said, I wasn't even wanted. I was an accident. I said, now, what makes you say that? My mom told me. Sure enough, several years earlier, when no doubt her mom was probably frustrated with her, maybe she wasn't being obedient or behaved or whatever, her mom blurted out, you were an accident, and that stuck in her heart. Can I just say, let's take a time out from the message for a moment and say, it's very important for us to watch our words and the things that we say to children. Probably the most powerful thing that was ever said to me when I was a youngster was spoken these words to me, you'll never amount to much. And I remember that to this day. Sometimes we really need to be careful and cautious. And I've got a bit of good news for you, by the way. Maybe you're here and you're saying, yeah, well, you know what? I was born 9 years after my next oldest brother or sister. I think I was an accident. You know what? There are children who come into the world who maybe were not necessarily planned or anticipated by mom and dad. But there is no such thing as an accident with God. Somebody say amen. Amen. God has a plan for every child that is conceived. He has a design. He has said in his word that he knows every day that we're going to live. God has a plan for you. If you've ever wondered yourself, was I ever really supposed to be here? You're supposed to be here. And if for no other reason, to be adopted by a loving heavenly Father. The first thing that adoption means is we are not an accident. You're not an accident. I'm not an accident. You're deliberately planned by God. Our spiritual birth wasn't a surprise to God. There has never, ever been a time when somebody prayed. Just thinking of David. There was never a time when somebody prayed, or even when David prayed and said, God, I give you my heart. And God up in heaven said to an angel, him? What are we going to do with him? No. There was rejoicing in heaven. The angels began. There's no accidents with God in our spiritual birth as well. Can somebody say amen? Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:4, we read verse 5 a few moments ago, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Lest God chose you because he wanted you. He saw you of value and of worth. David, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 1:5, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. Before Christ ever came and gave his life upon the cross, God saw David and Les and me and all of us. And he said, I want you in my family. I want you. God was drawing us to his son, Jesus Christ, because he wanted us. He wanted us. Every single one of you, if ever you get to wondering, does anybody really want me? I'm not really very important. If I was suddenly gone, would anybody even miss me? God wanted you. The Bible says in John 6:44 that nobody, you can see it on the screen in front of you, nobody can come to God, nobody can come to Jesus unless the Father is drawing him. God wants you. That's enough on that point. Let's go to number two. So if you're taking notes, number one, adoption means we're not an accident. But adoption also means God knew what he was getting. God knew what he was getting. You know, things have changed nowadays. It used to be that when a man and a woman were expecting a child to be born, you had no idea. You were just waiting for the doctor to take hold of the baby, and the baby is saying, wah! And the doctor says, it's a boy, or it's a girl. And then you found out. Susan and I, when we were expecting our first child, which turned out to be Bethany, we had a girl's name and a boy's name picked out because we didn't know what it was going to be. It was the surprise. With our grandchildren, it's been different. With our grandchildren, as a matter of fact, our oldest grandchild, there is Bethany. This was the image of faith within Bethany. And, you know, I thought it was so cool because she knew Nana and Papa would be looking. And so she waved. She said, here I am. See, right here. Wasn't that neat? We knew what our oldest grandchild was going to be before she was born. In fact, you know, probably one of the things that people are really into nowadays is the gender reveal. And people come up with all kinds of creative ways to let their friends and family know if it's going to be a girl or it's going to be a boy. Well, so we knew what our granddaughters were going to be, but when I talk about God knew what he was getting, I'm not just talking about male, female. I'm talking about God knew what he was getting when he was getting you. God knew what he was getting when he was getting me, and we're talking about God knew all of our issues. He knew my issues. He knew my faults. He knew my shortcomings. He knew my failures. And he wanted me anyway. That's amazing. He knew all of your shortcomings, all of your faults, all of your failures, and he wanted you anyway. And God will not change his mind. A few years ago, in fact, in 2010, so almost 10 years ago, there was a little boy who was quite prominent in the news. His name was Artyom Sevlev. He was this little Russian boy who had been adopted by a single mother in Tennessee. She had adopted him out of Russia. Maybe you will remember the story. Because after having him for a few months, she changed her mind. Do you remember she pinned on him a little note? And she put him back on an airplane and sent him flying back by himself to Russia with this message attached to him: I no longer wish to parent this child. He is mentally unstable. She returned him to sender. Wow. You know, the great news is, in my life, I've probably given God opportunity on occasion for him to change his mind about me. I've given God opportunity for him to say, this isn't working out. But God will never send us back. Paul tells us, nothing will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. God's not going to change his mind about me. He's not going to change his mind about you. John 7:36, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will in no means cast out. God's never going to pin a note to you or me and say, that was the last straw. Rick, you've blown it one too many times. You've let me down. You've disappointed me. We've come to the end. His love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. You know the song. You've sung the song. It's based on the Word of God. You know, when I was growing up, I heard stories about children who were adopted. My best friend, who you met last Sunday, he was my best friend from kindergarten through first year of college. He was adopted by his mom and dad, my pastor. I heard stories about parents who wanted to adopt. I don't think this happens anymore, but parents who were considering adopting, they would go to an agency or something, and they could watch children kind of through a one-way glass. They could, the children couldn't see them, but they could see the kids, and they could see how they were playing and how they were interacting together, and they could make a decision. Yeah, we want that one, or no, we don't. Let me tell you, when God was looking through the one-way glass at me, I'm glad that he didn't just see me as I would be without him. He didn't just see you as you were. In Sunday school class this morning, Les was describing some things that were a part of his life in the past. But when God looked at Les, he didn't just see what currently existed. He saw what could be, what Les could become in Christ. And that's true about every single one of us. I'm glad that the one-way glass of heaven was the blood of Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. And God looked at us and saw us through the blood of Jesus. But this reminds me of a family that was in our church in Southern California. My wife and I pastored in Tehachapi, California. No, I did not just sneeze. That's actually the name of a place. Tehachapi, California. And there was a family there in our church, Bill and Beulah Greer. Both of their children, Rhonda and William, were raised, grown, married, and out of their home. And Bill and Beulah felt like they just had a whole lot more love to yet give. And they began taking in foster boys. You can see six of them there that were in their family at the time that this picture was taken for the church directory. By the way, they didn't stop with 6, 8, 10, 12. 12 is where they stopped. Bill was a retired Marine Corps. He worked as a correctional officer at California Correctional Institution right outside of Tehachapi. He stripped his double garage of everything and put in bunks. And he ran that family military all the way. When the Greer family came walking in, the boys were all in step. Bill could have been calling cadence, and they would walk straight down. They would pivot precisely and go into the role. Bill and Beulah had one stipulation. When they would work, and Bill and Beulah became favorites of child protective agencies really quick, because they said, we don't want any boy that's perfect. We want the boys that have come out of abusive homes where there's been drugs, sexual abuse, physical abuse, neglect. We want those. And Bill and Beulah not only brought them in as foster boys, but they began to adopt them into their family. At the point that this picture was taken, I think 4 or 5 of those boys had already been adopted. Another 1 or 2 were in the process. They were still in their home as foster kids. Bill and Beulah were looking for those who needed to be in their family. God, when he was looking for us, he was looking for ones who needed to be in his family. Amen? God didn't adopt us because he needed us. He adopted us because we needed him. Somebody say amen. We probably thought we didn't need anything, but God knew. God knew all of our weaknesses, our faults, our defects, our shortcomings. He knew it all. But he wanted us anyway. He wanted us. Number 3, and the last one we'll talk about this morning. Adoption speaks of a new relationship. A new relationship. Now, we've already touched on one aspect of this. It is through adoption that we have a new relationship with God. He's no longer something to be feared. An angry, white-haired guy sitting behind a huge desk with a thunderbolt in his hand, waiting for us to make some mistake. No, we have come into an understanding that God is our Father. We've talked about that change of relationship, but there's another one I want to talk about briefly as we wrap up this morning. In the pages of God's Word, during the times of the Bible, one of the primary reasons that a man would desire to adopt a child is if he had no heir. How many remember Abraham in the pages of the scripture? He was worried because God had told him he would have a son, but many years have gone by, and both he and his wife are well past the age of childbearing, and he's concerned. God has blessed his life, and he has amassed some wealth. He's got some possessions stored up, and we actually read in Genesis 15:3, Abraham said to God, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." In fact, he was talking about Eliezer, a trusted servant that he was thinking about designating as his heir. And God quickly said, "Oh no, no, your heir will be one who comes from your own body, not a servant, a son." Well, the reason that conversation was going on is to set the stage for what we understand today in this change of relationship. We are no longer a servant to sin. We have become a son. Galatians 4:7, "So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir." Every single one of us, before we came to know Jesus as our personal Savior, we were a servant to sin. And you say, "Well, I was pretty young when I came to Christ." Just understand the grace of God. Because you and I, we would have become a servant, a slave to sin, if we hadn't given our heart to Christ young and early. But we are no longer a servant. God has moved us out of the servant's quarters, and he's moved us into his family. How many remember the prodigal son? He was away from his father. He was sitting in the pigsty. And he said, "I've made a mistake. I need to go back home." But he said, "When I go back home, I'm not going to ask to be restored to my position as a son. I'm going to ask my father if I can just be a servant." The Bible tells us in every one of our lives, the chains of servanthood to sin were broken off at the cross when we received what Jesus did for us. And when that servant came back home, that prodigal, and he said, Luke 15:18-19, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." The father said, "Stop right there, son. Bring the family ring and put it on his finger. And bring a royal robe and drape it over his shoulders. And kill the fatted calf, because this my servant," "my son has come home." Can I tell you this morning, because of adoption, there is a new relationship. We are no longer a servant. A servant to sin. We are a child of God, a son, a daughter of our Father in heaven. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to stop right there, and we're going to pick up next Sunday morning, and I'm going to share with you four more aspects of what it means to be adopted. You're not an accident. That's number one. God knew what he was getting. That's number two. And you are in a new relationship. Not only as a father child, but now no longer a servant, but a son.